This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We are here at Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. If you want to stop by, this is one of our most popular remotes in the summertime, and you are more than welcome to join us. We've got some free food here from Barbie Ann's. And if you want to talk to Toby about any questions, if you want to meet Howie, the possibilities are endless here at Cape Gunworks, so come on down. Very excited to talk to our next guest. It's a really huge day today, and joining us, who's a perfect person to have on with this breaking news, is Libby Emmons from the Post Millennial. Libby, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you, Grace. I'm glad to be here. It is quite a glorious day.
Libby, give us your take. The Supreme Court has overturned Roe versus Wade, and the way the left is framing this is that they are eliminating, and I've seen this in a few places, I'm not making this up, I've seen this on CNN and on Twitter, they are eliminating the constitutional right to abortion. What do you say back to that?
There is no constitutional right to abortion. That's pretty clear. We had the justices confirm that today, something that a lot of people were already aware of. The workarounds that the previous court had come up with in order to say that there was a constitutional right to abortion was really just rhetorical flourishes and supposition, and it wasn't in there. So I think this is a great decision. I think that the decision on the legality of abortion should reside with the states. That is constitutional. Anything not in the Constitution states, resides with the states. I think that's terrific. I also think that a lot of these comments and, you know, the vitriol and the backlash that we're seeing to this decision, saying that, you know, now every woman who gets pregnant is going to die and all of that sort of stuff, is just really over the top. And I think people can see through it. Most of the abortion bans that have gone through in the many states that have upheld right as a life, rather, as a sacred right, are mirrored in the national laws of progressive European countries. We're sort of an outlier in allowing abortion so far along into pregnancy. So, you know, Florida has a 15-week ban. Lots of other states have bans of this kind, and I think that they are just and humane to do that.
And Libby, I think this is where the conversation as far as how this is going to play out in the midterms gets interesting, because a lot of people cite the fact that most Americans agree that a woman should have a right to get an abortion, but what they don't talk about is how people feel about what you're referring to, which is the more extreme end of how long should you be able to decide before you have to have the baby. And I don't think a lot of these politicians want to answer that question.
I think that's right. And I think that a big part of that is that over the years, we have seen the age of gestational viability continue to go down. There's babies that are born at 21 weeks who, with the help of, doctors and nurses, can survive and can go on to lead healthy and strong lives. The idea that life does not begin at conception is scientifically, you know, provably false. So, we know these things. When a woman gets pregnant and she knows it, it's very clear that you're pregnant. You know that you're pregnant. You feel that that's a new life. You know it fully. There's no way around it. And I think that I think that it, you know, I think that people know that. I think Americans know that. We're not stupid people. We're aware of how reproduction works. You know, we've had all these sex ed classes all these years and we know things. So, yeah, I think it's pretty fascinating. There's also definitely going to be some disparity among the states. I know that in Oregon and other states, you can have abortions like pretty well whenever you want, on demand, no questions asked, without limits. In New York is going to be a sanctuary state for abortion, which is really quite a tragedy. I feel California, Colorado, Connecticut, I think New Jersey as well. We're going to see a lot of states that don't go along with it. Yeah, you know.
Libby, another part of this I wanted to another part of this I wanted to ask you about, because you have a piece in the Post-Millennial talking about what we can expect tonight. And the DHS is actually involved in sending out these memos to clergy and to Catholic churches, trying to prepare them for what a lot of people on Twitter are calling a night of rage. I saw a little bit of Joe Biden's speech today. I will give credit where credit is due. He did say several times that protests have to remain peaceful and that there is no excuse for violence, which I think was a wise move on his part. But tell us a little bit about this memo from the Department of Homeland Security.
Sure. I would just like to say that I do think the White House is talking out both sides of its mouth. On the one hand, they say, everybody, hey, be peaceful, maintain the peace, don't be violent. And on the other hand, they say, yes, perfectly reasonable to go protest outside Supreme Court justices' houses and intimidate their families and children. So I don't think that you can take Biden's words, yes, we want peace, please be peacefully protesting, to be the, you know, to be the end all be all on this. I don't think that's necessarily, his whole view, or certainly not the whole view of his administration. So DHS, it was reported, was in contact with Catholic churches to let them know that they are being potentially targeted by extreme abortion activists. There's a group called Jane's Revenge that seems pretty anonymous, something of a leaderless group that has promised a night of rage beginning tonight. We're already seeing on social media lots of advocacy for protests. I know there's going to be one in Washington Square tonight in New York. I know that a lot of reporters that I know are already out in D.C. Capitol Police are out there with riot gear on, and churches should be wary. You know, churches need to be aware of that. The way that this came out was that there was a memo leaked from a diocese in California to the churches and clergy there, saying to, you know, have plans in place, keep an eye out, be aware, take heed. And I think, yeah, I think it's definitely possible that we're going to see some, you know, threats or intimidation there. We've seen protesters in D.C. saying F the church, because they believe that, you know, I guess they believe that the church's belief that life is sacred is wrong, which it's hard to find the moral workaround on, you know, the sacredness of life, really. But yeah, it's definitely a concern.
Libby, another thing you wrote about, and if anyone wants to read any of these stories, you can go to thepostmillennial.com. You wrote about yesterday's Supreme Court decision to strike down that New York concealed carry restriction, and we've been seeing a lot of the backlash due to that. We saw Kathy Hochul. Actually, I would love to play a sound for you, Libby, specifically because I know you're in New York, and I'm sure you have some opinions on Kathy Hochul, but this is what she had to say, the governor of New York, talking about this decision. This is cut 23.
Everybody in America recognizes that there's a problem with gun violence. And the people who cheer this, what they say, what they see is, look, there is a problem with gun violence. And I, as a law-abiding citizen, want to be able to hold a gun on my person so that I feel safer. What do you say to that individual?
I say that makes everyone else feel very unsafe. We don't know if you're provoked. You know, you're in a bar and you're having someone looks at your girlfriend or your boyfriend the wrong way. There are so many triggers. It is, if someone wants to have a legal gun license, protection in their home, that is their domain, they can do that. We've always allowed that. Or for hunting and other purposes.
Now, Libby, there's two things I want to point out, and then I'll give you the floor. One is that, as James Woods pointed out on Twitter, this woman has 8 security guards usually around her at all times. She's fine with other people having guns to protect her. And the second part of this that drives me crazy is that all of these rules they have for concealed carry up to this point have not prevented any of these shootings that they're constantly, and, you know, I'm talking about them a lot too because they're horrible things, but none of these rules that they cling to have really done much in the past.
That's right. We just had a mass shooting in Buffalo that was not remotely tamped down by Kathy Hochul's or New York State's gun laws. It didn't have any impact at all. In fact, there had been some reporting that that in Buffalo there were limits on the size of magazines you could have, so that perhaps this shooter knew that and knew that he wouldn't be facing, you know, like a big backlash to his going in and trying to murder everybody. So I think that's a huge thing. I also think that it's really hubristic for the leaders of New York, Kathy Hochul and Eric Adams, both to, to say that the Supreme Court's ruling on the unconstitutionality of this law is somehow something that they need to work around. And they're planning to try and create specific spaces that they're calling like sensitive locations, where concealed carry is not permitted. And there's even talk of doing that for the entirety of New York City, to say, you know, in New York City, you can't. It's not about the individual who's carrying the gun. It's about, the location that you're in. And also, I think that clip you played where Hochul was saying that other people's legal possession of guns, because that's what we're talking about, right? We're talking about legal possession. Illegal gun owners still get to do whatever they want with their weapons, whenever they want, and they're barely subject to anything here in New York. We had, we had something called Stop and Frisk that actually took a number of guns off the street every year. It was spearheaded by Mayor Michael Bloomberg. That was declared to be racist because it was taking guns away from too many, black men in the city, and so it was racist to take their guns away for some reason, even though they were carrying guns in opposition to the gun laws in the city, which, as we know, are extreme. So illegal gun owners can do whatever they want. Legal gun owners have to be subject to the whims of Kathy Hochul's feelings. That just seems completely illegitimate to me. And this is another situation where we have Democratic lawmakers punishing people for following the law. If you're going to go out of your way, if you're going to, it's like a whole heap of trouble to try and get a gun in New York City, right? The Supreme Court just made it, or not just New York City, but New York State, the Supreme Court just made it slightly, perhaps, easier. The state still has to, deal with it, and they've said that they're not going to deal with it right away. So if you're a legal gun owner, if you're interested in following the law, if you're interested in carrying within the bounds of the law, you're going to be subject to Kathy Hochul's feelings. But if you don't care about the law, if you're a criminal anyway, no one's going to care what you do, and they're just going to arrest you and release you without bail anyway. So this is a narco-tyrannical system. We have government leaders talking out both sides of their mouths, and we have them, punishing law-abiding citizens and elevating criminals. It's insane.
Very, very well said, Libby, and we appreciate you coming on. On the bright side, at least you have Eric Adams as your mayor. I thank God every day that Eric Adams is the mayor of New York City. And he thanks God as well. He says, he gets up and he says, I thank God that I'm the mayor of this city. Libby Emmons, you can read her stuff at thepostmillennial.com. You can follow her on Twitter at Libby Emmons. She's a great writer. She stays on top of all of these issues. We'll be right back with your calls. It's 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
See, I had Jared pull all of these country bumpers for the summertime. All right, we had a lot to talk about. We had a lot of sound to play, but just FYI to all the listeners out there, we are at Cape Gunworks. We're having a really fun time. I got this delicious coffee from down the street, and I started bragging about it to Howie, and he said, "Where is mine?" And I said, "Oh, we didn't get you any. Sorry about that." So I might have to run out in a second and get Howie a coffee. But we're here. We're going to take your calls all day long. It's 844-500-4242. For the rest of the show, the phone lines are open. So if you want to talk about Roe versus Wade, if you want to talk about the Supreme Court decision from yesterday, which struck down that law in New York regarding concealed carry, any of the above, or just something random, something I want to talk about in a little bit here. It's a really good piece from James Freeman, who I love, talking about, it's from the Wall Street Journal, and he's talking about how Biden's economists oppose Biden's tax plan. So all these people who send Joe these open letters, these wonderful, you know, what does he always say, Jared? Like, unsolicited. They came out of the blue. The open letter just landed on my desk telling me how brilliant I am and how wonderful my ideas are. Well, all of those people don't really agree with his plans, and we'll get into that in a second. But before we go to the calls, before we move on to any of this, I promised you a sound cut. I teased it. I'm going to deliver. Here it is. This is this woman. Her name is Carrie Lake. She's a Republican from Arizona. She's running for governor. There's a lot of Republicans in this race. It's a pretty crowded field. However, she has the Trump card. Trump supports her. And after watching this cut, you'll understand why. Because Carrie has a background in TV. And that becomes very evident when you see her interacting with this reporter from CNN. So let's take a listen to Carrie Lake, Cut 24.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Nice to see you.
Get off CNN.
You don't have a mask on anymore. What's
we're,
going
we're
on?
We're outside. Do you have a
wow.
minute to
well,
chat?
Well, we're 6 feet apart.
Do you have a minute to chat?
I'll do an interview.
Okay.
As long as it airs on CNN Plus.
Oh.
Does that still exist? Yeah. I didn't think so, because the people don't like what you guys are peddling, so, which is propaganda. Thank you.
This is the problem. That's involuntary servitude.
Oh, it's over, Jared. That was mic drop city.
That's the truth.
I'll do an interview with you, but only if it's on CNN Plus. Give
Go
this
there.
Woman a Profiles in Courage award. Has anyone checked in on Chris Wallace or Brian Stelter? Because that is one of my favorite lines of the year so far. And you know what the brilliant part about this was? And again, she was from media. She worked for KSAZ TV for 22 years. So she understands a live shot almost as good as John Kerry. She has this woman, she's shaking her hand. And what she does is she does not let go until she makes her point. And the woman is just kind of stuck there with her mouth agape. Really a beautiful thing. You don't get that all the time. 844-500-4242. We have a lot of sound. And just an FYI for everyone here, Paul Pelosi, little update on this. He's been charged with driving under the influence of alcohol, causing injury, and driving with 0.08% blood alcohol level. Per Napa County DA, it's a misdemeanor charge. So I just wanted everyone to know that, because Paul Pelosi had glassy-eyed. He was glassy-eyed. He was stumbling and mumbling. And now he has been charged with the DUI. 844-500-4242.
Good morning.
It's not a good morning. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Howie and I were just sharing with each other some of the delightful, well-thought-out, incredibly civil messages we receive from liberals who are a little bit upset about the decisions that are coming down from the Supreme Court. And, you know, they love to use language like, where, what was the guy saying the other day, Jared? The guy who sounded like Bane or like Batman. He kept saying, "We're on the edge of the abyss."
You stand on the edge of the abyss.
And I was thinking today, I'm like, thank God for the Supreme Court, because And guaranteed, a lot of it has to do with luck, depending on how many vacancies you're able to fill. But Trump was able to shift the majority to make it into, and I know it's supposed to be apolitical, but who's believing that anymore? And it's got to be hard. I know that it's their job. I know they sign up for it. But for someone like Brett Kavanaugh or Amy Coney Barrett, it's got to be tough when you make these decisions because they know what they're doing. They know the law inside and out. They know they're going to get backlash. They know they're going to get these nuts on their front porch screaming at them. But they do it anyway. I was reading something with Clarence Thomas yesterday. It was a really great interview. I think there's a book coming out, and that's why they had the excerpts from it. He was talking a lot about black communities and some wisdom that his grandfather used to tell him. And it was all worth reading. But one thing he said that really stuck out to me, he said, I would love to go to a football game. I would love to be able to just go out in public, but this stuff is so important. And they're brave individuals for, you know, taking this on for the rest of their lives because it's never been this unhinged. Just changing gears here for a second, but you're still welcome to call in about that topic. It's 844-500-4242. It's by far the biggest story of the day that Roe versus Wade has been overturned and the Supreme Court is ending federal abortion rights. That's the key word there, federal abortion rights and historic ruling. It will now go to the states. And if you have an opinion on that and you want to weigh in, you should feel free to do so. But there are a few stories I would love to tackle here before we bring on Toby in the 2 o'clock and talk to Howie Carr. One of them is Liz Cheney. So a lot of my listeners, and this shocks me and kind of disturbs me a little bit, I'm starting to get the sense that some of my listeners haven't been paying attention to the January 6th committee trial, hearings, one-party hearings, the circus. And that disturbs me because up until today when this decision came down from the Supreme Court, the January 6th committee hearings were the biggest thing in the world to ever happen to humanity. Now that has shifted, not hyperbole, to Roe versus Wade being overturned. But I'm starting to think that no one's paying attention to this. And I was watching yesterday. Oh, that's a lie. I'm sorry. Someone should fact check me on that. I was not watching. I was on Twitter yesterday, and I saw a photo of a certain celebrité who was in the audience of these January 6th committee hearings. Do you know who it was? Did anyone else see this? Sean Penn. When in doubt, bring in the movie stars. Does he qualify as a movie star anymore? I haven't seen him in anything recently. He was in a couple good ones, though, back in the day, Mystic River. That was a good movie. But yeah, so they bring out Sean Penn to these hearings. None of this is going the way they wanted. Nobody seems interested. I didn't hear anything about the hearings yesterday. And according to Democrats, yesterday was the biggest day so far. And I thought, it's the biggest day, and I haven't seen one headline. At least not from any of the sites I go to, which take that with a grain of salt as well. But then I read this about Liz Cheney. This is from The Hill. Liz Cheney is urging Wyoming Democrats to switch parties to vote for her in primary. Now, everyone knew that when Liz Cheney went full anti-Trump, that she was going to have a hard time remaining in her position. She was going to have a hard time remaining a congresswoman because no one was going to vote for her. But her campaign website now is offering instructions to voters on how they can change their party affiliation in order to vote in the Republican primary. So she wants these Democrats, who she's hoping from all of her Washington Post, Strange New Respect puff pieces, love her enough at this point. But here's the key.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
It is a bold strategy, and here's the key. And I'll never forget this. When Megyn Kelly was going after Trump for a while, and I really like Megyn Kelly. I think she does a good job in her podcast too. When she was going back and forth with Trump, she got this strange new respect from the left because they didn't like her, but they liked the fact that she was going after Trump. And so then she decided to sign this deal with NBC. We all know how that worked out. They fired her for not partaking in blackface, but for talking about blackface. She got fired. Joy Behar and everyone else in Hollywood can do blackface and not get fired. But Megyn Kelly talked about it. But when she was leaving, there was a man on the street interview with Tommy Lahren, and they asked her about that decision. And she said, Megan, and I'm paraphrasing here because I'm just going from memory, but she said Megan should know that no matter what they're telling her right now, they're never going to like her. They're never going to like you. And that is something that Liz Cheney is going to learn the hard way, is that right now Democrats feel comfortable using Liz Cheney because she's attacking Trump and she's their useful idiot to attack Trump. But they're not going to embrace Liz Cheney. They're not going to, these people aren't going to change their party affiliations to save Liz Cheney, or as Nancy Pelosi likes to call her, Lynn Cheney. I don't think that's going to happen. Phil, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, Grace, thanks for taking the call. I know it's a big day for a lot of red states and stuff with this decision of Roe versus Wade. I live in a blue state, but I'm a Republican. Needless to say, you know, I think we all are on the same page. We feel in no way, shape, or form would you feel that if a woman's health was at risk, that, you know, if they had to end the pregnancy to save her life, yes, I think she has that right. Or as far as molestation and rape, I think we can all agree that, you know, she should have that right. She should have that choice. I think that's reasonable. As far as making that choice outside of those parameters, I guess I used to get worked up. I'm not as worked up about it anymore, and the reason why is because at the end of the day, above the Supreme Court and above everybody else, there's somebody that's going to judge you for your decision. And I guess you're going to have to stand there and explain that decision to that person at that time. And I wouldn't want to be in those shoes, but I, you know, I firmly believe that, you know, that judgment comes above everybody. And, you know, if they're willing to face that, then, you know, more power to them. And, you know, hopefully it works out for them in the end. I don't know it will, but, you know, I just think that's the thought of how, where I'm coming from.
Yeah, and I totally get that, Phil. And I've said this before on the show, and I know sometimes it comes out a little jumbled up because it's such a sensitive issue, and I do tend to try to handle it with some caution, but I have always felt like you do what you can handle, like what your conscience can handle, what your spirituality can handle, what you think is right, and I'm all for that. However, the conversation's getting different now where you have people who think there should be no limits, that you should be able to decide up to the point of birth. And that's where they're losing a lot of people like me who have always been kind of, I don't want to say on the fence. I know that ticks people off. But yeah, on that issue, we don't talk about it a lot on my show, on Howie's show. On that issue, we tend to be a little bit, listen, if you make a decision, if you can live with it, that's your choice. But they're losing people with not only this extremism of up until the point of birth, but also with this tactic that when I don't get what I want, when the Supreme Court decides something, and let's all remember, it's not illegal, it's just going to go to the states. When the Supreme Court says something I don't like and they make a decision I don't like, I'm going to kick and scream and bully and vandalize and intimidate and act like a nutcase until I get my way. That's not what this country is about. That's not how these things are supposed to work. And I don't think anyone likes that. On either side of this argument, people don't like that kind of chaos. They like law and order. I know we're not allowed to say that anymore because it's a dog whistle. Trump used to get in trouble for saying it, but people do like that. 844-500-4242. We should play a couple of these unhinged cuts. Jennifer Rogers, a former federal prosecutor, was talking about this decision on CNN. Cut 8, please.
Just help folks who are at home understand how broad this goes.
Yeah, it's a heartbreaking betrayal of half of the country. Sorry, I'm getting, you know, watching the women there. It's emotional. It's a real problem. People are talking about privacy issues, you know.
Oh, boy. The crying on TV thing. I can't. All right. Well, another issue that I want to talk about, I see people on the lines now. It's 844-500-4242. I do want to switch it up just a little bit because there's a really good piece in the Washington Post, and it's titled Biden Economists Oppose Biden Tax Plan. People wondering who's really in charge at the White House may be reassured to know that the emerging economic policy appears to be the work of a career politician. In the Washington Post, Tyler Pager and a few other people report that President Biden appealed to Congress on Wednesday to suspend the federal gas tax, saying it was critical to reduce the pain Americans are feeling at the pump. He said, I promise you, we're doing everything possible. No doubt White House economists familiar with the concepts of supply, demand, and incentives are not entirely on board with the president's decision to blame high gas prices on each industry in the supply chain. So Biden said, my message is simple to the companies running gas stations and setting those prices at the pump. This is a time of war, global peril, Ukraine. These are not normal times. Bring down the price. So he's just now telling oil industries, lower the price of gas. That's it. That's the, remember the magic wand? Remember the pronged plans? Remember all these things he was going to utilize? All these tools in his toolkit? This is what it's come down to. Let's bring up some solar wind and also lower the price of gas. Brilliant, really. You understand why he was in government now for like 6,000 years, because this is the kind of stuff he's coming out with. And I want to read you one part of this that really stuck out to me. It says, nothing encourages people you intend to eventually put out of business like demanding they should also forego profits today. That is the crux of this. I'm eventually going to put you out of business, but before I do that, don't try to make any money right now, because that wouldn't be the right thing to do. Coming from the man who was made hand over fist in corrupt dealings across the world. It's baffling. 844-500-4242. We'll go right back to your calls. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack is back. We still get asked all the time, does it really work? The answer is yes. The 3-Pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are, number one, odors. That could be pet, tobacco, or musty basement smells. Number two, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier can also relieve allergies and sinus problems caused by pollen and air pollution. And number three, the technology destroys a lot of air pollutants. Jared, I know you've been talking about the pollen a lot lately. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, pollen is ridiculous. Even people who don't have allergies say they are suffering from the pollen this time of year. But that's what makes Eden Pure Thunderstorm great, because it actually can eliminate those allergens and pollutants in the air. And all you have to do is just plug it in, you turn it on, and it ionizes the air. It sends out the ions, and that's what creates the super oxygen, and that super oxygen eliminates any allergens and pollutants, like I said, including pollen. It can even get rid of some viruses, and it definitely gets rid of odors. You are breathing clean air, and I think that's what everybody's looking for.
Yes, and if you get the 3-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3, you will get a 3-pack and a great deal, and shipping is free. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACE3. We will be right back with your calls. We're at Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. You can stop on by. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. I can't wait to meet you, so come on down. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about these gas prices, and we'll take your calls. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you agree with the decision to overturn Roe versus Wade?
Yes, I do. I have no problem with it going to the states.
93% of the audience agrees. Yes, they agree.
Well, 93% are not melting down on Twitter like all of our friends at the Washington Post. Joining me now is Howie Carr. Howie, we got an exciting day planned here at Cape Gunworks. Tell people why they should come down and say hello.
Well, there are all kinds of great deals. There's free food from Barbie Ann's next door. And you can come down and you can get one of our T-shirts, Let's Go Brandon or Make Gas Cheap Again T-shirt for the first 20 people who come in and buy a T-shirt. You're also going to get a free copy, your choice of Kennedy Babylon 1 or 2, depending on whichever one you have. So come on down here. You get basically a two-for-one deal. Buy a T-shirt, get a Kennedy Babylon book free. And you can have your picture taken with me or you.
How much are you charging for pictures these days?
I am I'm charging the donut.
Really? So generous.
Not even a crawler. You can have a donut. You can have it for free.
But because of shrinkflation, you only get a picture with Howie's shoulder.
And you finally got some coffee, right?
Yes, I did. I did get some coffee. I didn't get the designer coffee.
Like, yeah, the mailroom manager said that he didn't need a cup, Jared. So we all got fancy coffee, and Howie said, "Where's mine?"
Ouch!
Yikes!
But that's okay. It's good coffee. It's good black coffee, and it's available. The price is right on the coffee here at Cape Gunworks. It's right next to the airport in Hyannis. It's
great location. Very easy to get to. I got here in like an hour and 10 minutes. It's so easy, and it's a perfect day to do it. It's beautiful out, so come on down to the Cape. Stop by here. Howie will be here, so if you get here a little bit sooner rather than later, you can meet him and chat with him, and we'll be here till 6 o'clock. Howie, I do want to take a call here. Stay on the mic. Mike, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I got a question about today's decision by the Supreme Court, and are our federal dollars still going to go to Planned Parenthood now that it is
Yes. Even if Trump were president, the answer would be yes. If Ted Cruz were president, the answer would be yes. They would figure out some way to do it.
And Mike, honestly, you don't even have to finish the rest of the question. Will our federal dollars go to, you could stop it right there, and we would say yes. They will.
It's kind of like saying Biden administration deflects blame on fill in the blank.
Putin, DeSantis,
Afghanistan,
the unvaccinated,
crisis, COVID.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on here in the next hour. We're going to have Toby on to discuss the decision that came down yesterday from the Supreme Court. But gas prices are still a huge story today. And Joe Biden decided that he wasn't going to meet with the oil industry CEOs, and instead he was going to meet with the wind CEOs.
But he gave us a lesson in nautical affairs. Did you know that when you get out into the sea, into the ocean, the wind is always blowing? Did you know that?
That sounds like a song, a Bob Dylan song.
Of the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, you know, or he never heard of this part of the ocean called the doldrums where there's no wind. I guess Joe Biden doesn't know about that, but once you get far out into the ocean, the wind blows all the time. The only problem is you need a really long cord to get all the energy back to the mainland where it can be used.
Hal, you know what I was more impressed by was his little note card that said, "You sit down, you walk in, you do this." And you know what all I could think of? Because we're talking a lot about the Supreme Court today. Do you remember when Amy Coney Barrett, or as Keith Olbermann likes to refer to her, the paralegal, when she was getting her round of hearings and her confirmation hearings to join the Supreme Court, and they were asking her all these questions, and she was going into all the details of all these legal precedents and all these things, and Lindsey Graham said, "Can you hold up your notepad and show us what you have there?" And she held up a blank notepad, nothing. The woman is brilliant. And then you have a president of the United States who's out there today talking about what a solemn day it is. Can't even enter a room without instructions.
Well, we wait. And he at least twice said they took away a constitutional right. And it's in the decision, and no one can really dispute it logically. It's not a constitutional right, but he said it twice, and it's in his prepared remarks. So they wrote lies directly into his prepared remarks.
Of course they did. Toby Leary joins us next from Cape Gunworks. Come on down.